Welcome to Reality TV, your source for snarky reality TV recaps. It's me, Jody, and today I am back to bring you the best and the worst moments of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, unexpected, and sleeper of a season of Married at First Sight. Let's just ride it on out, finish it out together. Now, coming up this week on Patreon, taking a little departure from our last couple weeks and going a little dark and deep here. I'm going to be talking about season two of Serial, the case of Bo Bergdahl and his desertion of his army base in Afghanistan. I have some special guests with me who are military members. They're going to give me their expertise and their opinions. Definitely made me look at this case completely different. So if you're interested in that and interested in early ad-free episodes, almost 50 bonus episodes, and an invite to our Patreon-only Facebook group, head on over to patreon.com/realitytvpod, only $5 a month. And if you just want those early ad-free episodes, $1 a month. Also be sure to head on over to Instagram and Twitter at realitytvpod. I like to live tweet some of the shows and just talk with you guys throughout the week about what you're hearing. And our Facebook group, Reality TV Orchard of Snark, get yourself in there. We are talking a lot of 90 Day Fiancé these days, especially with all the news that dropped last week with Mr. Ricky. Okay, let's get into some 90 Day Fiancé because I am ready to talk about this episode. Back in her kitchen this week, we meet up with Darcy. Not slicing up some steak on a bias this week, but she is mixing up a smoothie, which I am certain she's contractually obligated to be drinking based on the shilling she likes to do on her Instagram. Now, it's been a few months since Jesse left, which took me aback a little bit. Think about that. Months between taping. That would make the eyebrow discrepancy make a lot more sense. But again, months between filming. Now, Darcy is not too optimistic about she and Jesse being together based on their conversations or lack thereof over the past few months. But, you know, maybe a talk with her cousin and Vore Monique will provide some answers. Let's sit on down, make her hair look... Honestly, I don't even know if the cousin made it look better or worse, but no clarity was given. Darcy likes to pull this mama bear thing, you know, oh, I'm protecting my kids, and that's why I am on and off again with Jesse. No, it's such bullshit. And we know that because she ends that little scene at the beauty salon with, yeah, but I'm just not ready to give up on it just yet. Okay, yeah, great mothering considering that you just talked for an hour about how your daughters are so important to you, but oh, fuck that. I'm going to stick with a Norwegian sociopath. So fast forward to Darcy and Kim Zolciak's old wig making their way to that dentist that, take a minute. I'm just going to say, if you don't agree with me that dentist didn't skin a property brother to wear and then throw some veneers in his own mouth, I don't know if we saw the same guy. And this is the same guy that Darcy is trusting to fix her mouth, to touch her teeth. Now, many of you know, my dream really did come true last night. This was like going to Disney World for the first time for a child. I finally get to see a reality TV, I'm not going to say star, let's stick with the cast member, receive orthodontic treatment on screen, and Darcy just had to choose the most a trust fund recipient of a dweeb to do it. I mean, of course she's going to choose a horrible person to mess with her face because her decision-making skills and lack of a BS detector, well, they can need some work, right? Okay, well, in any event, she gets her veneers refitted. Color me shocked. Didn't know you could do this. And she wants to get this done because Jesse is coming to the States in a few weeks. So the dentist takes some sort of a grinder or polisher and just whittles those things down much like I probably, oh, you know what? I can see Mother Jessie, you know, who I affectionately refer to as Betsy Johnson. I bet she likes to whittle herself some dream catchers. Maybe they come from a long line of whittlers. So, you know, maybe Darcy is doing a really kind thing. She's giving like a little nod to Jessie's lineage. Okay, let's see. Okay, well, let's go and check in with Lord Douchebag Von Trapp strolling the frigid beaches of, where is he? Douchelandia. I mean, Jesse is such, we know he's a sociopath, but he's just such a dork. I want Kelly Dodd to just go off on him like she did on Shane on Real Housewives of Orange County. Just get in his face and start screaming, "You're a dork. Just get out of my face, dork." How satisfying would that be? Now, the plus side for Jesse of taking a couple months off is that his bangs that he had singed off in a very obvious flat iron accident previously, they've grown back in. But the downside, his hair has receded quite significantly. That is what I call karma, baby. Now, I wonder if Jesse has also been pulling back on some things, much like his hairline, and ditching the gym. Because did you hear his friend call him out on it immediately at lunch or over a cup of hot cocoa or whatever the hell it was that they were drinking? So I started looking at Jesse's pectoral. Like I was looking really hard. Is there a little pec or is there a bicep that's trying to bust its way out of that tight shirt like it was back in New York? But you know what? The shirt wasn't even tight, because there was not a muscle in sight. I think someone has been taking too many selfies and not so many reps on the old free weights. Well, what is Jesse's plan? Why does he have this poor victim of a friend here at lunch? Well, we find out that Jesse is going to fulfill every sociopath, perhaps psychopath's dream, and he's going to fly across the ocean to go break up with a woman who he's had a relationship with for years, and they've been on multiple TV shows together. This guy, you know, he's going there just for the pure satisfaction of watching a woman suffer. He is an attention whore. I think his friend knows it, and I think his friend is telling Jesse to run, but I also think that friend needs to run fast, get away, because once he's done with Darcy, he's just going to find the next person closest to him and make their life a living hell. Okay, so let's jump forward. Jesse is now here in the States and he's settling into, it looked like the most claustrophobic hotel room I've ever seen in my life. I felt short of breath just watching it. And then we get a glimpse of Darcy making her way to see him. And I feel badly for her because Jesse, you know, he's a monster. But come on, Darcy. She's looking like Mariah Carey meets Barbara Streisand when she went on Oprah and she was wearing all white and cream and she demanded her microphone also match her sweater. Too much. I get it. You want to look good. I get it. You are trying to represent your brand here on TV. But let's get real here. You're on a train. You are lugging your own bags. Mariah, you are not. But I tell you who was just nailing it that day. And that was the producer, the crew, whoever was on that train with her, telling her to just bare her soul. What do you think Jesse's thinking? Because, you know, they knew that this was going to be ratings gold. They know Jesse is going to break up with Darcy, you know, in public so many people can see it. But they also know that Darcy doesn't know that. Darcy is for sure walking in there. Likely the reason that she wore white is that she thought she was going to come out of this thing as a newly engaged woman. Okay, let's talk about Marta. Remember, she's our 30-year-old from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she is talking to Dia, I'm committing to Dazin. Now, Marta, right off the bat, it was a lot to unpack, starting with her bra situation. This is, once again, is why we need Molly to come on here, bring her in for proper fitting. But it wasn't even so much her bra fitting illy. And I hope you guys know what I'm talking about. She was wearing this yellow sweater or yellow shirt, but the bunching underneath, I was so hyper concentrating on it, trying to figure out why there were bunches and bulges and lumps and depressions all over the place. Like her boobs weren't even in the right location. So I started thinking, you know, maybe she's got like a padded molded bra that came apart in a dryer and, you know, it had like uneven asymmetrical lumps that dried in there. Or maybe she had two or three bras on underneath. It was just a burning question, made me lose my concentration. So I had to watch the scene a couple times. What I found out in that time is that Marta can't wait to go, but, you know, a couple little roadblocks in the way. Number one being her exotic dancing and Dazin being a devout Muslim. So they have religion going against them. They also have just the morality issue of exotic dancing in his religion. So they got a lot of things to work through. The next day, Marta gets this letter, and it says that Dazin has to go to his embassy and he has to write some sort of a letter in order for Marta to get her visa here to even be accepted into Algeria. The timeline is really tight here, so he's got to get this stuff done in order for her to leave. So Marta calls him up, they FaceTime each other, and it becomes immediately clear to me that these two don't ever speak. They have to use Google Translate. I am very familiar with this program. You got to type in everything, you got to hit the O, translate, and then if she's blowing it up on the screen, like she did in that scene where she typed something out, it translated it to Arabic. She had to like copy paste a couple different times, blow it up, zoom, and then hold it up in order for him to read it in his alphabet. Even me explaining that took way too long. So imagine just having to do that every single time you want to say, hey, how was your morning? Or how much money are you going to send me this month? This is something even the very first catfishers, like the original OG catfishers with AOL 2.0, even they could have figured out a better system or known it wasn't even worthwhile. So we'll find out what happens later with them next week. We didn't get to see a whole lot. But spoiler alert, jump ahead 15 seconds if you don't want to know. I think it's all but confirmed she never left the country. Now let's talk about Angela and Michael, because they brought me the 2 seconds of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days that will go down as one of, might even be like top two, top three favorite moments ever. We'll get there in a moment. You already know what I'm talking about. Now let's start with Angela, and she's laying in bed. Michael comes upstairs and he's sitting bedside with her, but she is not having it. And immediately when I took in the surroundings around Angela's bed, I know I've seen this resort before. I know for a fact I have. I'm pretty sure it was on a House Hunters International or some sort of, you know, tiny house living or some shit like that. It might have been that Treehouse Builders one, but I have seen it before. Either way, Angela has worked hard for this trip. She can't afford to change her flight. So as much as she hates Michael right now, she's kind of stuck with him. So she's just going to head back to the motel and Michael gets the pleasure of driving her there. And don't touch me. Now, what struck me here was, of course, the tiny house living that I've seen before, but also Angela's hustle. I mean, she was an easy 3 or 4 paces in front of Michael, and he's struggling to keep up. He is asking her to slow down, but she's not having it. So in other words, stay with me here. We are in the opposite world of Nicole and Azin. Boom. Is your mind blown or what? Now, fast forward to Michael in the car with Angela. You know it's coming. I'm closing my eyes right now just so I can picture it and enjoy the moment all over again. She's reclined in her seat. She's got sunglasses on, and he reaches down by her feet to pick up a very large duffel bag. It looked a little heavy. I would love to know his reasoning why. maybe she was a little sweaty or snoring and he wanted better air circulation. Maybe he had like the foot blower and the face blower on and he needed to get that air from the foot blower. But for whatever reason, he picks up the duffel bag and tries to swing it up and over Angela's head to get to the back seat. She's sleeping there. Her mouth is ajar. She's probably drooling. There's no way in hell, even mathematically, that bag would have been able to clear her head, but he just goes for it. And the thing slams into her face. And the look on her face when she wakes up, first she's confused, but she's also immediately pissed off. She's got that freaking stink face on. I thought she was just going to swing just a real quick uppercut to the left, right to his face. And it takes her a moment, I think, because she is still waking up. She takes off her glasses. She starts rubbing her eye. And then she just says, "Michael, I'm going to have a black eye." And then in a modern day 90 Day Fiance take on the classic who's on first, Angela says, "Oh, you gave me a black eye." And Michael says, "Black eye." And she goes, "No, black eye." And he goes, "What black eye?" Oh my God, it's great. Just the comedic timing. I watched it twice, then I made Dave come in and watch it. It will never get old to me, especially because he doesn't start laughing. Like I thought he was going to start laughing after he hit her in the face, but he doesn't. He doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't know what's going on, but she's got that pissed off mom thing that we can all relate to when our mom is really angry and you want to start laughing, but you can't. It's just the best. It's like seeing someone trip and fall or one of those slipping on the ice videos. It never gets old. Okay, well, things go from funny to taking a turn for the worse because they get back to the hotel room. And first of all, the hotel room is a damn mess. They were gone at least, what, two nights and no one came to make the bed? Or better yet, how about you make your own damn bed before you leave? You throw your shit away. They were empty or half empty, or should I say half full and be an optimist. Throw away your water bottles, throw your stuff away. So at least when you come back, it's somewhat, you know, neat and organized and you feel all fresh and clean. Or maybe we should say to Angela, make your hotel room great again. Okay, well, Angela is also, well, she's not so optimistic about making anything great again because she lost all her trust and faith in Michael. Michael then just lays it all out there. I mean, what else is he going to do? Because if Angela changes her mind, he says he's going to lose everything. He actually says his time, effort, everything, and be stuck in Nigeria. Think we know where his intentions lie. Now, fast forward to Angela looking more like Beth Chapman every time I see her. She's got that snooky poof. She's wearing black hoop earrings, and she is ready to calm down, have a nice dinner, and speak calmly with Michael. Once again, Michael is doing his very best to smooth things over. He even brought God into it with his choice of t-shirt, and he's just laying it on thick. Because Angela's only got a couple more days. She caves in and says she'll give him a couple more days to see if he's really going to be sincere about loving her and changing his ways. And then she serves some sort of corned beef hash with green and red peppers. But that's not all. The cake. Michael comes out with a full frosted 8-inch, possibly 9-inch round cake, double-decker at least, maybe even a triple layer. And Angela produces a large serving spoon by the time Michael takes, what, 3 steps towards the table. Apparently, she has been craving cake this whole time that she's been in Nigeria, and she says she's been missing her cake, which implies she has a daily cake habit. So she spoons into that thing like it's going to be taken away immediately. And she is licking that spoon front, back, sideways, all directions, much like, well, you know. Some of you may know how getting everyone in my family to sit down and eat the same meal has been the biggest struggle for me as a parent. I was skeptical to place orders with meal delivery services before, but I took the plunge and tried Green Chef because their dishes looked so good. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company, and their meal plans include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, I may be trying that diet soon, gluten-free, omnivore, and my husband's favorite, carnivore, which all include a wide variety of organic ingredients. There's something for everyone. My son doesn't like to eat meat, so we made the stuffed peppers with orzo, and both my kids loved it. They liked that I actually let them cook with me because I didn't have to worry about them measuring or dicing anything, which then meant less cleanup for me. Our favorite was the teriyaki pork meatballs. I'm trying to incorporate more protein into my diet, and the spices included were a perfect twist on the classic meatball for my kids. It was also easy to switch up my delivery dates and times and the meals I wanted. I changed my mind and switched to the grilled harissa spiced chicken, which my mom ended up making while I was out, and she's still talking about how filling it was, and she loved the pre-made sauce that it came with. It is the perfect gift for new parents, housewarming gifts, and for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/realityTV. That's greenchef.us/realityTV for $50 off your first box. Okay, let's go on to Rachel and John. I really thought that they were going to bring it this season, but anyone else bored with them? Because I am. Now, Rachel is back in the States. She's battling missing her little teapot John and not being able to listen to John asking her, Rachel, I love you. So she's off to an attorney to see how they can get John to hop across the pond for good and be married here in the States. Now, long, boring story short, they're going to use a different process and a different kind of visa than the K-1 because they'll have a stronger chance of making it work that he'll be approved in order to become a citizen or stay here long term. The downside of it is that it could take up to 3 years. Now, I don't know if it was just my DirecTV, but it was jumping around, freezing, or it would freeze up and then all of a sudden it would jump ahead like 7 seconds. But the gist I got with the freaking, oh God, I can't stand DirecTV. But the gist I got was that they're getting married in a beautiful English garden, but none of her family can come or afford it. And we know that her oldest daughter is not going to go because the ex-husband won't allow her to take her daughter overseas. Now jump to one of the most unexpected surprises of this season. Friend Sherry's eyeshadow. Perhaps it was just liquid liner painted on in very broad strokes because I can't imagine any sort of even highly pigmented eyeshadow to have that kind of staying power without creasing. It's a risky decision to wear black paint on your face in a store full of pricey white fabric. That's all I'm saying. Something tells me her friend also, maybe she rides a motorcycle without a helmet or in a car without a seatbelt or maybe even something riskier than that, like eating lettuce without washing it first. Okay, well, we're at this bridal shop. The saleswoman comes out. I was already in shock with the friend's eyeshadow, but the saleswoman's hair. I honestly thought she got it like tussled up in one of the dresses, like she was reaching for a dress, maybe got a little static cling going on because of the tulle and the dry New Mexico heat. But I really think that that woman's hair was intentional. I do feel badly talking about the side characters brought into the show. So I'm just going to, well, wish both of them the best. Hope they see themselves on screen and see what we see. Godspeed to both of them. Now let's talk about our boy, Ricky. Now, last week I dropped the bomb on you and Auntie's advice on YouTube. She's been keeping up on this too. So she's probably going to have more updates than I will. Certainly, I will give you updates weekly on the podcast here, but I think she posts videos throughout the week. So check her out. But for now, let's go on what we saw in this episode. Now, if you remember, Ricky had just dropped the bomb on Ximena at that dinner that he planned all these day trips and dinners and flew down to Colombia to be with this Melissa character. Now, Ximena appears to be pissed. She says she doesn't buy his lies. She can't trust him. And then I really paid attention to the replays. Jimena at that dinner where he told her about Melissa, I don't know what the hell is going on with Ricky and what's going on currently with Katie, not Holmes or Jimena and his wife, whatever this whole big mess is, it doesn't even matter. I do think it matters that Jimena seems to be acting a little bit. It seemed a little preciosa, remember my favorite telenovela. It seems a little bit much. But let's just say that she's sincere. TLC did post on Twitter that Jimena quit her job to go see Ricky in Medellin. So let's take it as if it's a fact and let's go from there. Okay, we all are skeptical, but let's go with it. If that's true that she quit her job and she really thinks that Ricky is sincere, I would understand why she would be so incredulous and pissed off. So the next morning, they are out on the patio. They're having that great Colombian coffee that Ricky loves so much. And Jimena is giving him the silent treatment. We've all been there. Now, Ricky just cannot tell her how differently he feels about it. He is just light. He is burden-free. He feels like he's been carrying the world on his shoulders. But man, he feels better. I mean, God, poor thing. Pobrecito. Oh, man, it must have been really tough for him, right? So then he looks at Jimena and says, are you still mad about Melissa? You can see how Jimena has a visceral or alleged visceral reaction when he says the name Melissa, but Ricky just keeps saying it. So yeah, she's still mad. She feels like he's a stranger to her, but she still loves him and wants to give him a chance to show that he's sincere for the rest of the trip. Now, you know what stood out to me here? Regardless of what the truth really is, we may never know. Remember earlier in the season when we thought Ricky was this insecure guy? Remember his friend was telling him what to say and what to do with women? Oh, be confident, man. Don't say this. Make sure you do this. But in this scene, them on the little veranda patio thing, Ricky is saying to Jimena, I know you love me. You would have left here if you didn't love me. Come here. Kiss, kiss, kiss. You mean to tell me he just learned all that swagger and confidence in 1 week in Colombia? I am not so sure. Okay, let's do Paul and Karini. She's back again on the FaceTime, Mother Paul. Just like a good boy with very unhealthy boundaries with his mother, who is a hoarder, Paul whines that he just doesn't know what to do about Karini, Mom. Now, Mother Paul knows that this is her chance to get her little snuggle bunny back in her basement. So she ever so obviously encourages him to confront all the issues they have, you know, stir that shit up and get to the bottom of it. And then, you know, divorce her. She even says, if it wasn't meant, it wasn't meant, Paul. I think we're missing perhaps a prepositional phrase and a being verb there, but no big deal. Did anyone else notice, besides Mother Paul's little sperm eyebrows, that Paul is growing his hair out to match Mother Paul's? They both had a very pronounced, voluminous poof, like right on top in the bangular area. Just sharing my observations with you. You know, sometimes people say that they end up looking after their pets. Sometimes grown men want to resemble their moms. Now, fast forward. Oh, God, that sounds really disgusting. But I mean, hey, the truth's the truth, right? If it wasn't meant, it wasn't meant. Now, fast forward to Paul scampering. Yeah, scampering. Much like he did, you know, on the hill right before Karini got mugged, because Karini has called him and told him to meet her at the hospital with her mom. Well, Paul is totally confused because Karini says, get this, she might be pregnant. What? Yeah, okay, we all knew this. Of course she's pregnant. I mean, just look at Mother Karini's face. She knows Karini is pregnant, which is why the poor woman is on the verge of tears and murder at all times. Now, that is not a diss because I actually love how Mother Karini hates Paul. She's got her eyes on him And for that, I think we can all take comfort in knowing no matter what, Karini is going to be okay. Now let's jump over to Tarek and Hazel. Ugh. This was so uncomfortable to watch. I did not take joy in any of their scenes this week. Now, with a week left in the Philippines, Tarek has decided to ditch his brother Dean, who was being a complete ass to Hazel last time. And we're off to spend some romantic time together at Casa Kaula. Now, Tarek said he forked over some serious dough to stay at this place, so you know I'm going to be deep diving later to find out what the nightly rate is. Now, he hopes that staying at this place, being on the beach, they can explore one another, start to be more affectionate, starting out with lemonade and pineapple juice. Ooh, say it ain't so. God, that would frickin' suck. Like, I would need an alcoholic beverage stat. Well, then God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, decides to play all of her cards. Oh yeah, I said her cards. And just lay it all out there. There are literal red flags on the beach. A storm rolls in. It looks like it's going to be a tsunami. But these two stay sitting outside and just keep looking up in the sky saying, whoa, whoa. Then Tarek asks if Hazel wants to go run in the rain. Now, if that were me, I would be like, you know it's about 89% humidity and you want me now go out in the rain? No. But we see it's the first time Hazel actually perks up and her eyes got a little wild. They got a little wide and she says, yeah. I immediately got like Keith Morrison size Dateline goosebumps. Like, oh no, she's definitely got a plan for, like an accidental swept out to sea or maybe an electrocution in her back pocket because she clearly hates Tarek. But no, she changed strategies. They started running away and she tries to run him straight into this massive tree trunk. Go back and watch it. This is no joke. I'm not seeing things that I wish I would see because, I mean, let's face it, there would be some great fan fiction things that I would love to dream up in my mind about Darcy and Jesse. I really saw her try to run him square into a huge tree, but he dodges it, which then leads to them on the beach spinning around in the sand and going back to the hotel room where the most awkward first kiss in middle school, high school scene occurs. And Hazel gives Tarek a very firm brush off. Like there was no mistaking it. She doesn't want to be anywhere near him. Now, why might Hazel be acting that way? Well, number one, she tells us that she doesn't want to be affectionate with Tarek, but she gives us a reason that she doesn't want to be affectionate with him because they're not married. Now, this is tough because is that the truth? Is it because they're not married and it's a cultural or religious thing? Or is it that she's just not that into him? Well, Tarek doesn't know either. So as she locks herself in the bathroom to get away from him and take a shower, he hides the engagement ring that he bought until he can decide what he wants to do. Now jump to some even more awkward moments between them on a boat or a kayak or some sort of water activity thing that I avoid and will avoid for the rest of my life. And they're in swimming jackets. Hazel jumps in, forces herself to lock down the opportunity of getting to America, and makes herself say, I love you to Tarek. You really could have looked at this as like a forced confession in an episode of The First 48, or actually, you know what? I take that back because The First 48, those homicide detectives are legit. Let's go a forced confession, something we can all agree on. Okay, making a murderer. She is like every part of her body, her facial expressions, the way she's saying the words, I love you. You know, she does not mean it. It is physically painful for her to say. She then spends the rest of the filming time avoiding Tarek's lips, his hands. She even climbs on top of the highest rock around just to get away from him. But no, he climbed on up there, and that's where we saw the drone footage of them hugging and forcefully trying to get a kiss out of Hazel. My bet is that once Tarek went in to take a shower, I think Hazel found the ring that he had hid earlier, and she knows he's got the ring here. I gotta lock it down. I only have so much time before he changes his mind. The tables have turned. Well, that's all we have for this week. After a quick break, let's catch up with the kids on TLC's Unexpected. I just went for my yearly skincare screening at my dermatologist, and she told me that whatever I'm using on my face is way too harsh. So I started looking online. That's when I discovered Folane. To be Folane approved, a product has to be safe, effective, and luxurious to experience. They research, test, and validate each product before they launch it to the public, and they refuse to include ingredients that can be harmful. Did you know there's no government task force that's inspecting ingredients in our beauty products? But Folane ensures that every ingredient play a positive role in your health with no downsides or no compromises allowed. I love the Clean Essentials Kit. It's 100% non-toxic, vegan, and cruelty-free, and suitable for all skin types. You get trial sizes of the Osea Ocean Cleanser, the Indie Lee CoQ10 Toner, I love using this one after the gym, the Ursa Major Golden Hour, and the Folane Refillable Soap. I love that you can use it on your hands, dishes, pets, it's awesome. And all that stuff comes in a really cute bag. You can also take the skin quiz. It's risk-free, and if any product you try doesn't work for you, they'll replace it with something that does. Pure and simple, free returns. For only $22, that's over 50% off. Try the Clean Essentials Kit today. Go to folane.com, that's folane.com/realityTV to try the kit and enter realityTV at checkout for free shipping. That's folane.com/realityTV and enter realityTV at checkout. Well, 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 look who we are meeting this week on Unexpected, the one and only Father Max. I would love to get your thoughts on what you guys thought, because I thought at first he came across as a nice enough guy. However, he lost me at the, I didn't want to go to your house after the shower because I don't just want to be tolerated. Excuse you, grown man, what? This guy is the reason why Max is such an entitled brat at however many years old he is. Not everyone is gonna like you, man. And guess what? Jessica and her husband are actually good parents for questioning the kid who is excited to have a baby with their daughter. Okay? He stirs up drama and shit every time he waltzes in their front door. Like he lives there, mind you. So yeah, they're going to have some feelings about him. Father Max lost me there. I don't like the guy at all now. Now, Chloe, this girl is not innocent. She thinks it's cute to start drama between her boyfriend and her family. The way she was smiling and giggling about sharing her mom's text, it really made me realize she likes how people fight over her. It fuels her. She feels like she's like the poor little twee me in the middle. No, not cute. Chloe, knock it off. Now the bowling scene. Whoa. Chloe got me even more upset when she says that she's so nervous, but she, quote, doesn't know why. Well, let me break it down for you, Chloe. You threw your mother under the bus. And now Max gets to sit there all smug with his stupid earrings, and his dad gets to walk in there like they're these innocent victims. No, no, no. You know who the innocent victim is? The 77-year-old woman who Max stole from while she was sleeping in her very own home. Yeah, if you want to know more about it, head over to StarCasm for the full story. They did a really good job researching it. So all of our hunches about Max, they were spot on. Now, Jessica, even getting the words out of her mouth when she's talking to Father Max, saying that Max is a good kid, she's giving him the benefit of the doubt, I like should drop to my knees and praise her because she was trying to be nice. But no, her feelings were actually justified all along. Perhaps she was justified in her feeling because Max is a bad, bad boy. And not bad boy, you know, like in a good way. He's Macaulay Culkin style bad seed. Yeah, you got the chills up your spine already? That bad. Now, certainly, even if he is not evil, let's keep that option open. But even if he's not, he's certainly not the kind of kid that you would pick for your own daughter. And did you see the preview for next week where he says that once Chloe is 18, it's game on and Jessica and her husband won't see Chloe or the baby again? Yeah, okay. Keep that up, little man. Just keep it up. Keep it up. All right, let's touch base quickly with Lexi and Kelsey because we didn't really get a whole lot of them this week. Basically, Kelsey wants to know what's going on with Lexis because she doesn't know if Lexis is gay, straight, bi, or what. And it's not that she's anti any of them, but she's just confused because Lexis is always talking about women all the time, but she's still with Shaden in a committed relationship with him. Her concern for her daughter is just, she doesn't want Lexis settling just for the sake of having a family unit for Scarlett. And also, she hates Shaden, so win-win. Okay, Emily and Diego. Now, this episode brought back a lot of memories of those dark days with a newborn. I mean, they're lovely. You love your kids. All newborns are precious little angels from heaven, yes, but they are tough as hell. And also, Diego in the mix of that brought on a lot of dark feelings. So in the back of my mind, perhaps you want to do this, little advice, let's just keep that little yo-yo collapsible Coco of a Diego in the back of our mind. Just go to our happy place when it gets too dark. Diego doesn't even know his daughter's name, okay? He doesn't even know what to call her. Everyone else knows her as Aria, but he calls her Beckett because he got to pick the middle name. Emily got to pick the first name, but he doesn't like it, so he's just decided he's going to call her by a different name. Okay, this wouldn't be something that I think would be wise to stand your ground on, considering, you know, it's her frickin' legal name. But not only that, Diego doesn't even know how to hold a baby. It is not that hard. If you yourself have never held a newborn baby, it's pretty self-explanatory. The head is up here, you support the head, not with a weird inner forearm like this jackass does. He doesn't even know, you know, how to turn with her or hold her in a tender way. And then when he goes to put the baby in the car and he didn't even know how to place the seat in the base, again, it's pretty idiot proof. It's like a giant, it's a literal giant jigsaw puzzle. Like it only goes in one way. Well, the adventures of Diego continue. As we find out this genius of a father, you know, who knows everything, he didn't even spend the first week with his daughter or Emily. Why is it that all of these young men, okay, I'm being kind there, they just prance on in whenever they want, like their Dr. Sears or Dr. Spock, who's the one that did Happiest Baby on the Block, Harvey Karp, Ferber, take your pick, whoever you like. These guys just jump in there like they know everything. Like, oh, the baby doesn't need a pacifier. They don't need a bottle. Tough love. No, read a book. Take a cue from the mom who is biologically built to understand what her baby needs. Or, you know, maybe even just stay around for a couple days so you can figure out the ins and outs, your new routine, what the baby needs, what the baby likes. But no, Diego's not going to do that because Diego is a little boy, a little selfish idiot. He probably just wants to go home in his own little beddy-by, have his mom make him homemade pancakes in the morning. You know he's that kind of kid where he's 16, 17, 18 years old and mommy still gets up, makes his pancakes and cuts them into little squares for him like he likes them. Okay, where was I? He's another one that I could just fanfic out and probably be dead on accurate. Okay, but where was I? Oh, about how he's making the bottle. No, I had those same Dr. Brown bottles. They're popular. A lot of people have them. They do have a lot of little annoying pieces. But again, much like the car seat, it's not that hard to figure out. They only go together in one way. You would know if you did it wrong. And Emily, I think she's a nice girl. But the mix of Emily being way too nice, way too forgiving, and Diego being a narcissist, it's not going to work because Emily just laughs and giggles and then throws her arms up to expose her disgusting pit stains. I can't do it. I can't talk about it. I was so grossed out. I'd rather talk about baby poop or shit up a baby's back, even grown human poop, which is very hard for me. I'd rather talk about that than what was growing on her armpits. Let's go to Michaela. I need to reiterate this weekly because I feel this strongly about it. I love Shelly. She is the more beautiful Joan Cusack. I love her dry delivery, but she's got a really big heart. She is my kind of chick. I definitely would hang out with someone like Shelly, or Shelly herself if she lived closer to me. Now, thank God, at the time of this filming, let's put a question mark there, put a little pin in that, let's come back to that, Michaela's pregnancy test comes back negative. Now, I am shocked because I thought Michaela just the other day on some sort of, I don't know, YouTube's, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, she posted a picture of her with a pregnant belly. I don't know if she is, what do the kids these days say, trolling us, or if she is pregnant, wasn't pregnant then, but she is now. Fill me in. What is their current status? But let's get back to St. Shelley of Ohio. I think that's where they live. We'll just say St. Shelley of Unexpected. She lays it out there that if Kaylin and Michaela want to be together and they want to have a family together, meaning just one baby right now, great. However, they need to start planning. You know, how much are their bills going to be? Who's going to cook the food? Who's going to buy the food? Groceries? All that kind of stuff. She knows that they need to get a plan together. Maybe, they didn't say this, but I'm reading between the lines, maybe grow up a little bit. Learn a little independence, because once they're out on their own, it's going to be eyes wide open. Okay, who is our last couple? Oh, Laura and Tylor. Well, Laura all of a sudden has this older brother who, like the rest of the family, is just not made for TV. Now, let me preface this. I am not trying to be mean to their family. There really is like nothing wrong with them. They just have too beige of a personality and they probably like their quiet life. They like to keep things private, too much to make for good TV. Now, again, my DirecTV was jumping around, freezing up, so I probably missed little details here and there. But I did get that brother Eric asked Laura how she's been doing and what Tylor has been up to. And out of nowhere, or seemingly nowhere, Laura smiles and says, "Tyler cheated on me." Apparently, she went through his phone and found messages between him and this other girl. Somewhere, probably my DirecTV skipping. I don't know when exactly it happened. I'm guessing before the baby was born. But Tyler ends up being such an ass about it, even after the fact, like as they're filming, because he says he doesn't care that Laura cares and that Laura is still upset about it because she just needs to get over it. Okay. Tell us more how everyone else should live. And while we're at it, how's that stripper career going, Megamind? Yeah, I said it, and yeah, I mean it. The kid is a jerk, right? I mean, he's choosing to put his persona or his true thoughts and feelings out there, which, well, I'm not going to say it, saddens me. It just is disappointing because out of all of these young men on the show, Kaylin excluded because he clearly is a lot different than, let's say, a Shaden or a Diego or a Max. I thought Tyler might have some potential to do the right thing, be a good guy. But his attitude about Laura caring too much about this whole cheating thing and that he got upset that she told other people about it really shows his true character. He's only looking out for himself. Now, Laura's dad, I have concerns. I think we need to send him maybe some St. John's wort, maybe what's good for your mood, ginseng, something like that. He just seems very stressed out, very strained. He's always squinting. Maybe he just needs a new prescription glasses. He's always looking for something. He says that Proverbs he finds are a stress reliever, but I don't think they're really doing the trick. I don't think that's something that you should suggest to Laura and Tyler to get them through these tough times because I think, you know, maybe Father Laura needs to look beyond Proverbs and check out like a cocktail or something, maybe a Long Island iced tea, maybe even a rigorous workout, a nice little jog that might do the trick. But, you know, if he likes reading words that Jesus wrote, more power to you. God bless. Now, the previews for the episode that's coming up in 2 weeks, I think that's because next week is a 2-hour 90 Day Fiancé followed by a 90 Day Live. But the episode in 2 weeks looks insane. Cannot wait for it. Make sure you don't miss it because we're going to have a lot to download. Let's take a quick break and then let's talk about some Married at First Sight. You know how I love Poshmark, right? Well, I have a little secret to share. I got a Coach purse for my anniversary, and while I love my husband and the thought behind it, I just don't find myself using it often. So I just started creating my listing to sell it on Poshmark.com. If you're like me and use something a few times and then you hate to see a pricey item just sitting in your closet, you can sell it on Poshmark and then shop millions of closets across America for a new replacement. That's the fun part for me. Now they've made it even easier to buy and sell with the free Poshmark app, where you can shop for women, kids, and men. They have tons of brands to choose from. Ann Taylor, Boden, I saw this gorgeous Marquesa dress that'd be perfect to wear for a wedding. And what I am looking for right now, a North Face jacket for my kids who just have to have one. As listeners of Reality TV, you get $5 off your first purchase. Use referral code REALITV, REALITV at checkout. That's REALITV, Poshmark.com, the easiest way to buy and sell fashion. We are almost there, guys. It's 6 weeks in, 2 weeks to go until decision day for Married at First Sight. Let's start out with Bobby and Danielle. Bobby's meeting up with his voice of reason for lunch, and in typical Vore fashion, his friend points out that Bobby is still in the honeymoon phase, but he's a little worried that Bobby isn't quite prepared for the normal highs and lows that will happen someday with Danielle. They keep holding that over our head like, ooh, we're going to see a fight with them. We thought we were going to see one later in the episode during the field day. Don't even get me started on that yet. But no, we haven't seen one yet, and I don't even know if we will ever see one. Now, Bobby, he's not worried at all because, you know, he knows communication is key and they're ready for anything. As one does 6 weeks into marriage, you know, he's already got the Dr. Jessica lingo down. Now, let's fast forward to Bobby arriving home to really what looked like a home invasion to me. There's furniture all strewn about. Chairs are all over the place. Did you see the one straw wicker chair that was weirdly placed between two lazy boys behind a table? I don't even know what kind of crazy shit goes down between those two nerds, but I don't even want to know. Bobby, well, he knows, but he doesn't care because he beelines for that letter that Danielle wrote and left on the kitchen table. You remember, it was the letter where she doesn't say I love you, and then ditto that when Bobby ends their phone call, and he's like, okay, I love you, and then Danielle just hangs up. America's sweetheart. Now let's fast forward to Danielle back from her work trip, and they sit down to talk about their life goals. See also, paint drying. Therefore, let's move on to Amber and Dave. Now, we started off with Amber and Dave calling, FaceTiming her mom and her sister because they haven't talked too much. Amber does kind of strike me as the kind of chick who, when she gets in a relationship, kind of falls off the face of the earth. We all have a friend like that. I was surprised, kind of pleasantly pleased, that Amber didn't freak out because her sister is a brunette. She's got this thing, she's triggered by brunettes, but I was also surprised that Amber didn't freak out when Dave was saying that he's just not thinking about decision day. He's just going to have fun, go day to day, and see where it goes. With Amber's insecurity, that day-to-day comment, I thought she was going to flip out. But you know what? Good for her. A little pat on her back. You know, maybe it's just that she's growing, much like plants do. Aww. Okay, now it was a very sweet gesture. I gotta give it to Dave. That's a pretty damn thoughtful thing. However, if I was the anal retentive type, which I am, I would say they needed to plan that planter box better. When planting plants in pots, planters, you always need a thriller, a spiller, a filler, etc. didn't know your little friend Jody here had a green-ish thumb, did ya? Well, there's also some talk about holidays, where they're going to spend them, where they're going to go for Thanksgiving and Easter. But even with all this positivity, I have to tell you, when I was watching it at this point, I was thinking Dave wants to love Amber, but he just doesn't. He's just not there yet. Now let's jump to their life goals time. They take out the whiteboard and they go to it. Now think about what I just said about Dave, and now I'm going to go back on it. I have never been the biggest fan of Dave. I just feel like he's holding something back. He's kind of a control freak, but he was actually cracking me up. Like, I was actually laughing out loud. I never found him that likable or funny before, but I was really enjoying that scene. Now let's talk about this Married at First Sight field day before we get to the train wreck that is Mia and Tristan. First of all, I just have to say, no. What's worse than participating in a field day? Well, that would be volunteering to help run a field day at a kid's school. Seriously, it's a pure nightmare. But you know what's even worse than that? Watching grown adults do a field day on reality TV. I am not on board with this activity. Whoever thought of this should be fired. And I'm hoping it's Dr. Jessica, because she needs to be fired anyway. And wouldn't you know it, just when I start rooting for Dave, feeling for him, I gotta see my man fall hard. Amber picked Bobby. Bobby in the Is This My Husband's Body Challenge. I mean, that has got to sting. That's like Goldilocks stealing Baby Bear's everything. Like, that little bitch, how could she do that? That was Amber in that scene. But the plus side out of all of this field day nonsense is that Lou Diamond Phillips is really looking incredible these days. Now, we got to bring up the fact that Tristan and Mia are absent. All four of them are talking about it, and they're seemingly Team Mia. So I have to imagine that they are all talking off camera, and they know what's going on. Because a normal person like you and I, if we were to sit down and then talk about why Mia was kicked out, maybe I'm just the asshole, I'm the devil's advocate, but I'd be thinking, well, Tristan's a nice guy. Like, something had to have happened for him to just kick her out like that. But no, all four of them were gung-ho with go Mia power. Please tell me I'm not the only one who feels like their kid outgrows the brand new shoes or clothes you just bought 2 weeks ago. My son is finishing up his outdoor soccer season, which means it's indoor soccer time. Well, you know how much those things cost for just a few months of wear, and now I have a like new pair of shoes that I don't know what to do with. Enter Swap.com, my hero. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality, hand-inspected items are added to it daily, and there's new deals added to the homepage every day. If something doesn't work for you, you get hassle-free returns within 30 days. And because you are smart and savvy and listen to Reality TV, you get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code REALITV. Go to swap.com and enter code REALITV. That's swap.com with code REALITV. Now let's get into it. So the first scene that we even meet up with Tristan and Mia, he's asking how she's doing, and she immediately launches into kind of an Amber style, oh, I'm stressed out, I'm overwhelmed, you know, with work, keeping up and everything, and then with being married. Well, Tristan was hashtag triggered, and he starts beating around the bush that Mia is just not prioritizing things the right way. For example, he dropped his health insurance because she said she was going to take that on. He said that they were already talking about combining things, and he thinks she dropped the ball because she had made phone calls and then didn't follow through, but Mia seems to think that they never talked about it. Now, I don't think we'll know exactly what conversation was or wasn't had, but I do believe that Mia has a tendency to hem and haw about stuff. I could just see that in her normal posturing and the way she talks. Tristan seems like more of a go-getter, a higher energy level. So I'm sure he was like, okay, well, you keep saying you're going to do something and you don't, so I'm just going to have to go do it myself. You know, what it looks like to me is that Mia likes to play it like she's all coy. I mean, I say this every single week, like this, I want to be wherever you are. Wherever you are is home. Protect me. Take care of me. But then she will flick the switch when she wants to and start, you know, saying, oh, I don't like that. I want it my way. Don't tell me what to do. Oh, poor me. You don't let me do anything. Meanie, you're a meanie. Like my mommy yelled at me. Okay, well, clearly, you know, I have a bias towards Tristan. Maybe I will change my mind. But let's fast forward to the drum beats, the violin, maybe it's the cello. I'm not an expert in the music area, but it's the intense Married at First Sight music. We get Mia in a close-up video, which is likely either, you know, she's video camming herself or she's with a camera guy scrunched in the hallway. And she's saying that Tristan gave her an ultimatum. According to her, she said that Tristan told her she had to go to Houston or she can't stay in their home. So he packed up her stuff and told her to leave immediately. She doesn't think his feelings are justified. She doesn't get it. And she says she goes into self-preservation mode. Now, here is where we get the he said, she said. Tristan said Mia didn't want to move to Houston, but she wanted to stay in his apartment. So he told her, no, you can't stay here in my apartment. If I'm going to Houston, you got to go to your condo. Mia says they had an argument about insurance, and then Tristan told her to just get her stuff and leave. She thought that their apartment was her safe emotional place, but instead it turned out to be a battleground. And this is where we cue Dr. Jessica and cue Mia's tears. She tells Jessica that the problem is that they prioritize things differently. And she feels like Tristan just goes ahead and makes all these decisions without her. This is where we get this, what happened first, who said what first. According to Mia, Tristan got upset about her not putting him on her health plan. And then she was like, well, if you're getting upset about this, I don't know if I want to go to Houston. This is where, as always, Dr. Jessica has got to open her mouth and say something stupid. When Tristan gets upset about something as simple as health insurance, there must be an underlying bigger issue. Oh, hey, Jess, when's the last time you had to compare health plans and benefits? And yeah, duh, of course there's an underlying issue. It's that she went into this thing a proven liar and he is tired of it. And bullshit advice like, you're just mimicking... Oh God, what did she say? Something like, you're just mimicking the beginning of your relationship when there was a lot of drama and chaos. And if you just ride this out, you'll be fine. Now, of course, that isn't verbatim, but that's basically the advice that Dr. Jessica gave her. And you know she's saying that because they just have to cover for the fact that they put two people together that made a horrible match. Well, Pastor Cal gets Tristan duty. According to Cal, Tristan is pretty much the one at fault. Tristan used their relationship as leverage, and you should never do that. And either Tristan was wrong when he said previously that he was going to stay together with Mia after, you know, she lied about that stalking thing, or he's wrong now. Which one are you going to choose? Okay. Am I the only one, like, looking around, like, what, Mia did nothing wrong? No one's going to question her on anything? So let's jump to Cal flying out to meet with both Mia and Tristan a few days later. More of this he said, she said. She said she was discarded and kicked out. She's scared and confused. And he said Mia said she was worried and discouraged about Houston. And he simply said, well, if you don't want to go to Houston and be with me, then you should go. Okay, I can see both sides of the argument when they word it that way. I really can. So yeah, I agree with Tristan. He should not have worded it like that. Now, Mia is still throwing herself a pity party. Yeah, call me unsympathetic, but that's what I saw happening. She said she feels worthless. And then when Tristan hears that, He starts to feel like shit. He says he can't handle it. He's a total failure for making her feel that way, and he takes off. Now, in that moment, I hope you caught it, because Cal looks around the room like, maybe we should call someone in, like a professional or something, like, is someone going to do something about this? And then, you know, they were like, hey, Cal, you created this disaster. You go handle it. So Cal goes out in the hallway. Who knows how long it was before the two of them come back in, but Tristan does come back, and then fighting through some tears, swallows his pride a little bit, and he says that he's going to try to do better because he really does love and care about Mia. Once again, am I the only one not seeing what it is about this chick? There doesn't seem to be all these crazy great things about her. I mean, I don't know if it's just that Tristan is a perfectionist. He doesn't want to quote unquote fail at something, especially on a national platform. Or maybe I'm just not seeing the wonderfulness that is Mia. But I will say it again. If there was an award to give someone on the show for patience and determination, Tristan would get it hands down. Now, here's the plot twist. Next week, we have Mia filing for divorce and ditching Tristan. Always something more to the story. Okay, well, that is it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you check out my buddy Troy's podcast, Taste of Reality. I introduced him to 90 Day Fiancé, and man, we had a blast. I guess you could say I popped his 90 Day Fiancé cherry, and oh, it felt so good for both of us. Remember to subscribe, share, tell a friend. Please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and talk to me. That's the most fun part about having this podcast, meeting you guys. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @RealityTVPod. And until I talk to you next time, stay salty.